All right, welcome into the TSC. As you'll recognize, this is not Paul Danner Jr. This is Jason Williams. Paul is taking the day off because this is a two-episode week. What a treat we have for you here on the TSC this week. We will be doing live from the Flying Pig Marathon on Friday night. Paul will be back with us then. Until then, we have a very, very special guest host. You know her. We know her. She's a friend of the show, Sharon Coolidge. Sharon, welcome into the booth.
I'm very glad to be back. I've missed you.
Where's your enthusiasm?
Oh, it's here.
All right, all right. Got to get that Paul Danner Jr. enthusiasm going here, folks.
I'll have to practice that for next time.
Sherry, we have not only do we have you as a special guest host today, but my goodness, as loyal TSC listeners know, I have a thing for 80s pop music, and we're taking that to a whole other level today. Special guest, we're going big time today. Special celebrity guest, straight out of 1987. Back when you, I believe you were what, a freshman at a Boardman
High School, spiral perms, probably blue eyeshadow still.
Back in Youngstown, Ohio.
Oh yeah. Southern Park Mall, shopping on the weekends.
Speaking of malls, fits right in with our guest today. Those of us who are in our 40s, Phil, you don't know anything about this, but those of us in our 40s know her as Tiffany. Pop, international pop sensation right here on the TSC in our guest segment today. So we're looking forward to, after we leave the studio here, heading down to, we're going to U.S. Bank Arena. We're going onto her tour bus. I'm looking forward to seeing what that's like. And Sherry, you, me, executive producer Phil Didion on the ones and twos. He's taking the ones and twos on the road down to U.S. Bank Arena, so we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, I have to say, when the email came in, did I want to interview her? It was like, not even. I didn't have to think about it for a second.
Ooh, wow. Little teaser there, guys. Little teaser.
Earworm music. I haven't been able to get out of my head. We should say she's coming. There's a big tour coming. It's the mixtape tour. You know, her and Debbie Gibson and New Kids on the Block and Naughty by Nature.
Salt and Pepper.
Yeah. They're going to be here Thursday night. Even before I got the email, I had tickets. I'm not going to lie.
So the podcast, as we record here on Wednesday, we're going down to talk to Tiffany here Wednesday afternoon. And then the concert is tomorrow night, and you'll listen to the podcast. Listen to it. Get geeked out. Get your Aquanet hairspray out.
And oh, it used get to your... take the mirror in the bathroom. You wouldn't even be able to see in it. Like by the end of the week, you know, there'd be so much of it.
You know, I think besides you, who will be there? Our good friend of the show, executive editor Burl Love. He loves him some 80s music, I hear.
That is a possibility.
I still haven't confirmed those rumors yet, but I'm... he continues to decline comment when I ask him about it. Anyway, let's.
I think we all wait. That's always an admission when you say no comment. Like, I think we know that from our City Hall reporting.
All right, enough. We'll get to Tiffany in a little bit, but enough rambling. Let's get to some serious stuff. This is the allegedly the serious segment of the show. And when we talk about the current event in Cincinnati this week, and that was the fact that. The mayor, the commissioners, Commissioner Driehaus, Mayor Cranley, Julie Calvert, head of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, Steve Leeper, 3CDC, Laura Brunner from the Port Authority, all came together this week and did what, Sherry?
They announced that they are seeking to bring a new convention hotel to the city. And it was honestly stunning news. Not that we need a convention center hotel that functions for the kind of conventions that we want to bring, but because they're basically tired of waiting for the current one to do what needs to be done. And so they're like, we'll just do a new one. I mean, honestly, mm-hmm. It was really out of the box thinking. It's the kind of thing that you urge in your columns all the time for people to do. New ideas, different ideas. And this is it. And on top of it, those people you just listed, this was a real collaboration.
It was.
And that is not something we talk about all the time.
No,
here.
It's not. And And honestly, and I know that, you know, we talk so much about the dysfunction and the lack of collaboration. This is one of those moments where people came together, and there's some strong personalities there as well, with the mayor and a lot of different coming at it from different angles. But the fact that those folks all came together on this and said it's past time. The mayor has talked about how Columbus is really essentially kicking our butt right now when it comes to convention hotels. They're what's called a tier one convention city. So they're only going for the major conventions now. The Columbus Dispatch just had a story where they're building five new hotels in downtown Columbus. For our folks here in Cincinnati to come out this week and say, we got to put a stake in the ground here. This is the Millennium is a dump, and this cannot continue on. We're missing out on millions of dollars, millions of visitors, great PR. And as much good things that have happened in Cincinnati, there's still a lot to do, and this is one of them. And they said, enough, you know, shot across the bow, Millennium, get it together. You know, we want you to up your game. Meanwhile, we're going to build a new hotel here.
The fact that we did not host the Republican convention in 2016 is just absolutely, that was stunning. They made a bid for it, and, you know, they tried, but there was a lot of shortfalls there. And, you know, if we ever become in the running again, Ohio was very important in that election,
yep.
Which is why, you know, all eyes were on Ohio, which is not to say that's going to be the case the next time, but the fact that we didn't get it was just, it was stunning.
The one thing, too, that kind of on that insidery thing, how these things come together, is I'm really impressed with Julie Calvert, who's the Convention and Visitors Bureau. She's been on the job less than a year, I believe. She came on the job in 2018. And after a massive search, they settled on Julie.
National search.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had a good person right here.
Absolutely.
And they knew it.
And they picked the right person. And Julie, who is someone who can get people to the table. And I love Julie's attitude of thinking big and thinking like, look, it's time to step up, think big, but act big, too. And this is a really great thing for her as well, to have the CVB at the table after so many years where how many press conferences did you see or how many times did you hear about meetings and the CVB wasn't involved. But she has the CVB at the table on a lot of other issues, too, as we address or as we, I'm saying we as a whole entire county, city, try to address our public transportation issues. The Convention and Visitors Bureau is involved in those conversations, so really, it's great to see what Julie's doing at the CVB, and I would expect bigger things. On that note, Sherry, what is the next big thing we could? And clearly, let's be clear, the hotel is still a long way away.
They put an RFP out, and they did say, depending on who responds. So this is like, you know, the port owns this land with $11 million in public money, but they're going to expect a hotel to just come in and build a hotel themselves. So with the private money, if I was a hotel, I'd come here, although I'm not. I'm just a reporter. But, you know, from that point, as soon as we have somebody, 2.5 years. So it's going to take a little bit of time. But
yeah, not too far.
In the scheme of things, that's actually pretty quick, I think.
I mean, what's your sense? I mean, totally, this is my gut, not necessarily asking or anyone telling me this, but I don't think they're going to have a problem getting a hotel to say, raise their hand and say, yep, we'll build a hotel here. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I totally agree with that. You know, in recent years, we've seen a lot of hotels come, but they're just not these big, you know, huge blocks of rooms, 800 plus rooms. Mm-hmm. And there's room for that here. If you go to other cities, they have it. We're getting Major League Soccer. This is a great convention city, I think. We have a casino. We have a zoo. We have the Reds. We have soccer, the Bengals. There's a lot of things to do here. Yep. We should be a destination city for these, you know, mid-sized conventions that aren't going to the Vegases and Miamis. Mm-hmm. And that's a different kind of event. But we should definitely be competing against our peer cities. And if I was a hotel, I would take a look at us and be like, we're a good fit there.
Perfect segue into, you know, you talked about the Republican convention a couple years ago. you're talking, you just listed all these wonderful things that's going on right now, although I would question whether the Bengals are a wonderful thing. I'm kidding.
You always say that because Paul's not here.
No, but it's great. Absolutely. It's great to have the NFL be an NFL city. What you didn't mention there on that list is that a state-of-the-art downtown arena. And a lot of these competing cities that we compete against are that our economic development people like to say that now we compete against the Indianapolises, the Columbuses, the Nashvilles. All these places have Louisville, have new arenas, newer in as in like the last, you know, 10 years, 15 years. Meanwhile, we have U.S. Bank Arena. Could what we saw the other day, or what we saw the other day with folks coming together on the hotel, is the next big thing addressing the arena?
I mean, I think it has to be. Denise Driehaus at the press conference, this convention hotel is a very business-centric decision. It's something we need, but that list is so long, and the arena's on there. And Denise and Todd Portune, they did a big study, and the list of needs here of things that need to be fixed up and to bring us up to the caliber where we know that we are and who we can be. The arena's on that list, and it used to, you know, come up pretty often about, you know, we're not getting the big acts, and it's the fact that how the arena is set up with these small concourses, it's just not modern. And that conversation has been pretty quiet since 2017 when the idea of, you know, a tax to fund a big fix-up kind of came and went in a flash.
And it turns out that was likely just a big PR move to say, you know, again, and what's unique about Cincinnati is unlike a lot of these other cities, our arena is actually privately owned, whereas a lot of these other cities' arenas are either public-private partnerships or municipal.
Well, and the key's the tenant, and it does have a tenant. Exactly. The Cyclones, go Cyclones. We've had such great Cyclones news this year with how great they did, but it's not, you know, the NBA or these big tenants that can fill it every single game with like a LeBron on the court.
Yeah. 15,000 to 20,000 fans or people, you know, a week or a couple times a week goes a long way when you think about Columbus has the NHL and Indy has the NBA and Louisville has the Louisville Cardinals. So, yeah, we don't have a – we have a – there is a tenant, the Cyclones, but not on the grander scale of someone who's really going to foot the bill to build this massive new structure. On that note, speaking of U.S. Bank Arena, there is a big concert there tomorrow night – or tonight as we – as the podcast launches on Thursday. Tonight there's a big concert and
I mean, I consider it a big concert.
Us children of the 80s considered a big concert. I say that in a negative way. You millennials. No, I love you guys. Phil
just waved.
Phil just waved.
Honestly, I've been struggling because I really don't want to reveal my age. But it is what it is. You know, in 1987, you know, when Tiffany was touring the country and going to malls, and she's just a kind of, you know, you wanted to be her if you were, you know, a teenage girl. And here she is. I'm going to get to talk to her.
I was a teenage boy in seventh grade, and I was a big Tiffany fan. Not as big of a Tiffany fan as my brother-in-law, who says that was his celebrity crush.
Ooh.
When he was in middle school and high school. My celebrity crush, by the way, because I know everyone's wondering who it is, was Elizabeth Shue. From Karate Kid and other movies. You're looking at me.
Oh, no, I like that. That's a good one. I know who that is.
Let's head to U.S. Bank Arena, rev up the Inquirer Cincinnati.com mobile, and head down to the riverbank, and let's bring in Tiffany. All right, it's interview time here on the TSC, and we have a very special guest. We're going to call her an honorary Cincinnatian because she's been here, what, 3 or 4 days now, starting her tour. She's straight out of my seventh grade homecoming dance.
1987, fall of 1987, 80s pop star, still a star, none other than Tiffany.
Oh, thank you so much.
No last name needed.
Still to this day, because I had my father, my stepfather, and when I got the record deal at 14, they were like, so, Tiffany, what? And I, you know, my last name is Darwish, which isn't very catchy. And then my stepfather's name was Williams. And I just really didn't want to choose between the two of them, you know? I kind of thought it would hurt their feelings. So I went in and said, what about just Tiffany?
I think you lost.
And they kind of said, okay. And I was like, well, that, I got out of that.
So that's how that came, that's
and
where.
That's, yeah.
Because you're in the same time frame as Madonna. And
which later on worked really well for me. I would like to say it was strategic, but no. But I am in a group, great group of people, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of all my girls up there, these are people that I look up to. So I'm like, oh, one-namers like me.
Well, and you launched, I think, 1,000 Tiffanys or 1,000,000 Tiffanys. Everybody wanted to be Tiffany.
It's so cool because I do see a lot of the ladies still coming out now, you know, wearing the jean jackets, bringing them out from you know, our past, from when we were 16, 17, 18, on the mixtape tour now with New Kids. Obviously, that's why we're here in Cincinnati. Kick off tomorrow, and I'm seeing a lot of the fashion. They're kind of doing a little wink to the old Tiff, and I'm loving it. It's so cool. And on this tour, you're going to see me rock some jean jackets. I haven't rocked them in a while because I didn't want people to say, oh, bless her, she's just wearing her same old wardrobe.
Do you have the original jean jackets, though?
I do. So you'll be seeing those, you know, in some of my Instagrams and stuff. Don't know if I want to wear them on stage just because they might get trashed, and they really are kind of a, you know, there's something for my son to have later on.
Yes.
To cash in. But, you know, yeah, I mean, it's like I've kept all of this stuff, and people are going to be shocked, but I've actually kept fans' gifts over the years. You know, not all of them. I couldn't keep all the drawings and things like that. But a lot of the jewelry, a lot of the shirts and things like that, so I'm going to be bringing that stuff out. And it's really cool because a lot of them have engraved the date or the time, so you're going to see that on my Facebook. It's just like, you know, hey guys, I didn't expect, you know, you probably don't expect me to keep your stuff, but I really do. And I really do appreciate all the time the fans that they put out and, you know, the gifts that they give you, the little details that they tell you about their life or the encouragement.
Yeah.
I think that's what this is about, this tour.
How is it different connecting them with them today than when you first started?
Well, I mean, we have more to talk about, obviously. You'd think as a teenager we'd have, you know, but it was different because we were, you know, living in our parents' home or hadn't learned to drive yet or whatever. So with boys, it was chocolate, it was pizza, it was music, it was New Kids on the Block that we would talk about. But now I think, you know, I get a chance to talk about music, reminisce a little bit. But again, having a new album out called Pieces of Me, a lot of the women are going, well, that's where my life is now. You're representing me now. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly, the fun, the growth. I thought my life would be different. I'm right on target with where I want to be. And that's kind of what my album's about, Pieces of Me. It's probably the most vulnerable that I've ever written as a songwriter. But it is about my life. It is little bits and pieces of me, the good, the bad, the ugly, the challenges, the things I still want to do, and the things I'm like, whoa, that didn't work out. But I mean, aren't we all there?
Yeah.
You know, now we've kind of lived through our youth, and I keep saying I'm starting a nation of children behaviors, which really means we're old enough to, like, make a choice, and we don't really always have to behave.
I think that's definitely
it's
true.
It's a choice now. We premeditate. It's good.
In your music now, you're still trying to hit the audience that you, I mean, you're basically trying to bring them along, the folks that were with you.
I think it makes sense.
In the late 80s.
Definitely.
Or you're now, who are now in their
Well,
mid
I mean,
to
I've been out doing shows
early 40s.
For 3 years now. Working pieces of me in the new ground and showing people that I had the chops and that, you know, I really am a musician and that, you know, all the kind of backstory that you have to tear down those walls. It's terrible because you should be happy for that success. I mean, I was a little girl coming out of Norwalk, California, number one album, touring the world. I shouldn't have to be like, oh, that's awful, you know, but people put you in a certain category.
Yep.
She really can't sing. She's, you know, a one-off. And it's taken me many years to kind of counteract that and show people what I've got. But that is just by doing it.
Yeah.
Frankly, just loving what I do, going out, and every show is we're getting new fans, building new fans. So, yes, strategically I've been building a new fan base, but it's, you know, it's just adding on to what I already have and now reconnecting with a lot of the existing fan base who maybe just didn't know that I was out touring and, you know, had a new album. So it's all working out really well. I'm loving it, you know, and I think it's about having the right music. If the album wasn't as strong as it is, maybe people would kind of, you know, I mean, a lot of artists say they have new albums and everybody kind of rolls their eyes. You know, I know, I'm not, you know, silly about that kind of stuff. But again, when you really feel good about it and you can show that live element, show the backstory, people are getting it. So I'm very, it's putting a smile on my face.
But your songs are the type of songs that live forever in people. Right. Like if you hear them, and you could have heard them 10 years ago or when they first came out, and they stay with you. I mean, you can say the name of them and then you just hear them in your head.
Well, I think we're alone now. I'm very excited because we just re-released it. And that, again, was my plan before I even got the New Kids tour, was, again, mixing my new music with my old music, because you'll never come to a TIFF show and I won't sing my hits. That's the base. I'm grateful. Yeah. That's the connection. You know, let's start there. But with that said, as I'm journeying into new music and getting a stronger foundation, a little bit more of a rock edge, you have this, like, big gap between your shows. So I thought, let's look at the old songs and think of a facelift a little bit, a new, you know, revamping, if you want to call it that. And there's such great songs that they can lend themselves to that. Mm-hmm. So that's what we've done. You know, I Think We're Alone Now, the new video. I went to L.A., where I'm from, my hometown, and went back to my high school, which was not in the original video. Did some fun stuff there, walked Ventura Boulevard, the old mall, the whole nine yards, and just had fun with it. And it's doing amazing.
Well, like, people are really, you're definitely rocker chic today.
Well, thank you.
All black, same
always
red hair, right?
Your
Tiffany, same red hair. It's beautiful, long and wavy, but rocker chic with the black and the lace. And
thank you. Yeah, I mean, again, I think, you know, on this tour, I'm representing Tiffany, of course, and everything you guys remember about me. Nothing's changed. But, you know, I've always been more of a, you know, hairband kind of girl, representing more of the rock side of the 80s. I mean, I grew up listening to Stevie Nicks and Pat Benatar and, you know, Hart, Ann Wilson, love that voice. So I guess that's probably where my music is now, you know, a little bit more rocker and edgy, but still is fun and still is retro. So check out the album, everybody, if you can.
You're speaking my language. I'm at a loss for words right now.
So I know, like, you are so quiet back over there.
I'm just going to kick back on the tour bus and maybe just see if I can get hired, because this is...
Well, you're
you
very...
You could be a roadie. So
our regular listeners know that I am just like this crazy
80s
music guy.
You could tuck in a bunk back there and we wouldn't even know. You're so quiet. Just rolling down
the road. All
right,
ask your question. You know you're dying to
ask. Can you get us on Could Have Been? Can you still get that high? Can you hit that high note?
Not... I don't know why. Let's see. How can you? Oh, I could have been. Which one? No.
I don't even, like. No, there's a couple of times, like the highest that you hit in that.
Oh, could have been so beautiful. Could have been so right. Could have been my lover every day of my life. Could have been so beautiful. I know there's a higher note there. If
I went. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know you were going to do
like,
it.
I think they go up there
even,
somewhere.
This is
don't
great.
I don't sound too good without, like, the guitar or something.
Applause.
And it's really early. Applause.
Phil will put in the applause.
You guys, I mean, honestly, Jason's dying
yes,
right
I
now.
Do.
Jason's
I still
dying.
That
I think
note.
He's
I just kept
blushing.
I do have a serious question.
Okay.
You hit this crazy international stardom at 15 years old, and you're not alone in that. There's been... many, I mean, the guys you're on tour with right now. Is it hard to, like, that people still see you as that 15-year-old girl?
Right.
What is that like, and how do you, I mean, was there a point in your life where that's like, damn, I don't want to, I'm not 15 years old anymore. And
I think that's probably why I did Playboy, to be honest with you, because it was, you know, again, there was that conception of, oh, the mall tour girl and, you know, 15 and that's it. And I'm like, well, a lot has went on, you know. It was a little bit of a rebellion. I mean, it's very flattering to be asked to be in Playboy, first of all. I'm part of the Playboy family, very grateful, and I will own it till, you know, the end of time.
Yeah.
So, but with that said, too, it was a little strategic. I mean, it happened. I got the phone call when I was working the album Color of Silence, which was critically acclaimed and, you know, best of one of the best albums of 2000 from Billboard, all these great things. And then, but you're Tiffany. And it was like, well, what is, well, we can't, you know, get on board, even though the song is great. It's because of the image and, you know, that's kind of goofy. Nobody would. And I was like, well, I can't do anything about that. Yeah. And I'm not going to feel bad about my success, but I'm just going to keep working. And that's fine. You're not a believer now. My job is to make you a believer and why, and show you my heart and show you my talent. So I'm not really offended by that kind of stuff. I just know you got to just keep going, because that is my beginning, but that's not my end. And again, I shouldn't feel bad about it. It's a great place to launch off of. So, you know, I think it's about your attitude. But yeah, there was really times that I was frustrated thinking, you know, how do I, all of a sudden there's a wall here that I didn't even do. I didn't lose my talent. I didn't go off the rails. You know, I'm just simply a pop star. So, and I think that's actually unhealthy, actually, in the industry as actors or singers. I really would like to see the industry embrace more of these people. You know, again, if you forfeit your career, you do something crazy, that's a different story. You know, but people who just say, you know, we're going to take an actor, they've done this role, but now we can't see them any other way, so forget it, they don't have a career. Yeah. I think it's wrong. It's not, and I don't think that the public thinks that. I think that the industry puts you in that category because they're not creative of how to come out of that. Mm-hmm. It's too hard. It does, it needs to be worked a little bit, but the public is pretty resilient.
Well, it's also such a positive message to believe in yourself and not let other people define who you are in any given moment, and to know that you're good and can have a critically acclaimed album after your pop stardom and keep on going. And that's like, that's the kind of message today's girls we need to share with them.
Keep on going. Know who you are. Feel comfortable in your skin. I mean, now I feel more comfortable in my skin now than I did when I was a kid, of course.
Yeah.
Through experience, through, you know, through things not working out, through having to find my voice. So that's the Tiffany that you're meeting now.
And you even, I mean, you've been making music, writing music, singing, concerts, tours, all these years since back in the summer and fall of 87 and 88. Actually, the next year, you had an album that hit, was very successful and critically acclaimed, but, you know, wasn't nearly as critically acclaimed as your first one, but...
Yeah.
You've had six great success since then.
It's crazy, too, to put those numbers. I mean, now, especially for people who might not know about the music industry, you know, it's totally taken a hit and it's different. What we used to have before, I mean, to get a million, you know, to sell a million was a big deal. I mean, I sold worldwide on the first album alone 17 million. Mm-hmm. These numbers don't really happen now for a lot of people, except the top of the line. You know, so just be in the game and to be even pulled now, you know, it's been a little over a week. Like I said, re-released, I think we're low now. The video itself is almost 500,000 views in a week. So it is, there's little success there that you go, in today's climate, that matters. And that is by people, which I love more than anything. It's not, you know, it's always great to have people like yourself tell my story and people like radio and a bunch of other people get on board, but it's the people who choose.
Right.
And to see them interact with that and like it, and you know, I'm like, cool, this is all happening again, and I'm forever grateful. And I'm hoping that's going to spawn them to check out what I'm doing now, which goes to the new album.
I have one more question for you, and
maybe
Sherry has other questions.
Well, I'll tell you what Sherry has is some fabulous hair.
Oh.
We need to talk about this hair, girlfriend. It is like, I don't often have good hair days. I have
You're having a great hair day.
So this is fake. No, this is not fake hair, but this is people doing this morning. Otherwise, you would have met me
with a ponytail. I have a lot of help.
But you look fabulous.
From Miss Cassie Doyle.
I love it.
I do. I have a couple more. So the tour. You have toured with New Kids on the Block before.
Yes.
Back in the day. Right. Talk about the tour now, who you're with besides New Kids on the Block, and how many stops it'll be. And why did you start in Cincinnati?
I don't know why we started in Cincinnati, to be honest with you, because that was all New Kids on the Block and how they designed the tour. And, you know, but I can say, you know, I'm excited because, again, I'm going to be able to be in the back of my lounge on my bus recording some of the new music, because even though we have pieces of me out right now, I've got tons of musicians around me. Might as well stay creative for that consistent sound, because it will, the new album will be coming out at the end of the year. So with that, I have my producer, Mark Alarici. He's also my lead guitar player, my writing partner. I mean, he's in it for forever. He's just like, well, I was just going to be a writing partner. But, you know, we make great music together, and it's so easy. And I've been looking for the right pairing for a long time. So many people would, you know, great producers would say, yes, Tiffany, I see your vision. And we get in the studio and I'd be excited about it. And then it would be all watered down from what I want. It'd be just back to pop. And not that that's bad, but that wasn't what I'm wanting to do. That's not the next launch for me. And Mark is really the only person who took it serious. You know, that we came, he was in my band and, you know, just kind of like hanging out. He was, you know, doing a bunch of other things, writing for me and stuff like that. And all of a sudden he was like, well, you want to do rock? Why don't you just do it? I said, well, and I came up with a bunch of excuses myself. I heard myself saying that. And then I thought, you're right. I'm never going to change it if I don't believe it myself and just go for it. And if you're willing to do it. So it's always interesting when you're writing with a friend or, you know, a buddy or a bandmate, because people say, oh, let's write songs. But you never know if it's going to work. So there's that awkward thing like, oh, this could get awkward really quickly. And he brought the track Worlds Away to me. And literally, I heard it. I was sitting on my front porch in Nashville. And he sent it over. He's like, oh, this is just something I'm messing with. Sent it over. And I thought, oh, now I got to go get a cup of coffee. It's on. It's on me now. This is a great track. I've got to write some amazing lyrics. And so that's what we've been doing. He brings this great element. Or we're constantly on the bus, or we're constantly in a plane, or thinking of ideas all the time. So that's what I'm doing now. I have my secondary guitar player, Oliver, with me, and my tour manager, and tons of makeup and hair people going to be coming on and off, and wardrobe people fluttering around us.
I would start with those people.
But this bus is about, you know, music. We're going to be playing live music on this bus every day for 30 minutes a day at the same time, which I'll be putting through my website, Tiffany Tunes, again. Check it out. We're going to be FaceTiming live, the making of the album. So you'll get to see whatever that is. It might be good, bad, ugly. I don't know. We might be stumped. But usually there's something great going back there. And it's just, I'm really blessed to have a team of people around me. So I'm going to keep going and creating, you know, while they're here. And we're all very excited to be involved in this project and committed to this project. I mean, my crew and I, we're not done until March of next year. So, so we really are. We're all in it. Yeah.
You've been to Cincinnati quite a few times in your career, played a lot of clubs, and have you done anything the last few days since you've been here?
I haven't done anything. You know, just kind of hang out.
You haven't tried our chili?
I haven't tried your chili, but I have heard about it. So hopefully somebody will bring it, or we can go get something.
Say good things about it, please.
Okay.
Even if you don't like it.
Well, I'm just kidding. I've heard good things about it.
It took me a while to get on board with it, because I'm not from here originally. It took me a little bit of time.
Well, I'm a foodie, so I mean, I have a cookbook coming out at the end of the year as well. So everybody stay tuned for that. But that's just because I love to be on the road, you know, in Airbnbs cooking for the band, frankly. Yeah. Because I can't do the processed food thing all the time. You'll just get sick and feel, you know, and girls know out there it's not very flattering for the wardrobe. So, yeah, this is the discipline tour a lot. A lot of working out, a lot of wardrobes, a lot of, gee, everyone's looking at me. So you better make a shine. So,
if you were to walk off the tour bus right now and walk down to the middle of Cincinnati, do you think, I mean, do people recognize you on the street still quite a bit?
You know, they do, but it's weird because most people recognize me with no makeup on, which is, you know, good, I guess. But usually when I'm all done up and I'm feeling like, you know, I'm pretty good, people are like, I'm sorry, who are you? Thank you. But I come in with a ponytail and no makeup on and, you know, they're like, oh, you're Tiffany. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to really take pictures right now. Okay, thanks. You know, they're like, but I guess it's a compliment. I don't know, but I dyed my hair black for a couple of years, you know, in the 1920-21 part of my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, no one recognized me. So I'm back to being a redhead for sure. That's just my brand. I hated being a redhead when I was a kid.
Really?
Because you get made fun of. So now, again, to own a redhead, I know how special we are.
Yeah.
And my personality definitely is that of a redhead. So.
Oh, I agree with that.
For good, for bad, whatever. We're feisty. Uh-huh. We're feisty people.
I think I've got the nerve up to ask my final question.
Okay.
So in the summer of 1987, what, 3 months? I think it was exactly 3 months before you released Tiffany, your album. Mm-hmm. Richard Marx released his first album.
Right.
And I'm a big Tiffany fan, but I'm an even bigger Richard Marx fan.
Well, I'm a huge Richard Marx fan.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. Have you met him before?
He was my label mate at the time. So yes, I did a lot of touring with Richard.
Oh my goodness.
We didn't do an actual tour together, but I did a lot of, you know, going to a lot of different, you know, conventions and things like that, and working our albums together. Had a lot of times meeting, and I just saw him on the 80s cruise a couple years ago. So I mean,
we have
his
to go
songs
on that.
Are amazing.
Yeah, we do.
What an amazing songwriter, voice. He's a great guy. All in all, but yes, I always had a big crush on Richard Marx.
Really?
First of all, when I was a kid.
So does Jason.
And I just was in awe of his songs and him as a performer. So, you know, and he actually did a show, and he sat down to the piano and played stuff that he's never recorded but written for other people. And you'd be shocked at the songs out there that we're listening to that are written by Richard Marx.
I've had this argument with my partner, another partner I have on the Paul Daner on our podcast here, about, I said, Richard Marx is a fabulous songwriter. He just laughs at me.
Yes.
It's like, mm-hmm. you know, he's on the verge of millennial, so he doesn't get it. But yes.
No, you have to check him out. You guys have to check him out. Seriously. I mean, you know, they're just, you know, some timeless ballads and just a simple way of saying things, you know? Just, I mean, he speaks freely. He tells stories. And that's what we are as songwriters. So, but he just tells them so fluently and just puts you right in that moment. I love his stuff. So I was there at the 80s cruise, sitting there watching him perform. And I'd love to do some work with him eventually, you know?
That could be great.
Maybe. Who knows after
that? I do have one more quick question. So sorry, that wasn't the last home run hitter.
This is just a quickie.
You were talking about how you're a fan of, you know, and you listed all these folks that you're a fan of from the 80s. Have you seen the Motley Crue biopic on Netflix?
I started to watch it,
yeah.
And I was too tired, to be honest with you, and I thought I had an early morning interview, and I thought I better try to make sense of my own world before I show up and be like, what? It's so many of my friends said that I'm going to love it. I can't wait.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's on the next. We'll have a night on the bus and be able to watch it. So eventually we'll be in a rhythm. Lots of movies going to happen on this bus. But I love, you know, I loved Bohemian Rhapsody. That was, like, my favorite movie this past year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know a lot of, you know, people say, oh, things weren't accurate or whatever. But for me, the energy behind the music and showing how you really feel while you're on stage and the vulnerability of an artist and just all of those different components. I thought they showed that very well.
Tiffany, thanks so much for your time. This has been awesome.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
It's made my week, certainly. I'm giddy still.
He's
I don't
giddy.
Even want to say.
I love it.
I don't even want to say other than
cute.
Thank you. And,
thank you.
Best of luck on the tour.
Thanks for coming on the bus. You're one of the first ones on the bus, knocking it out. I appreciate it.
I can't wait till tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Yeah, Thursday night. Mixtape tour.
Yep.
Making mixtapes. So great.
Old school. Uh-huh. Here we go.
Thanks.
All right, special thanks to Tiffany and her crew for inviting us down to U.S. Bank Arena. We've zoomed back here to the Enquirer Studios on the 19th floor, 312 Elm Street. And, you know, Sherry, I don't get – I covered sports for the first 8 years of my career, Major League Baseball and big-time college sports. And, you know, I've covered NCAA tournaments and the World Series and interviewed lots of famous athletes. Like, and I've never been one to be starstruck, but like I sort of sat there in the middle of that interview with Tiffany and I was kind of like, this is kind of surreal in some way. I don't know why I thought that. It was just kind of like,
because she looks like Tiffany. She looks
like the person
on the cover of the album that we had, and we're just sitting there chatting with her on her bus, and it was kind of like a living room,
right? And for those people who, for the people who are out in our age group who grew
up
in the 80s.
With the age.
But I mean, like,
you're right.
She was huge there for a couple of years, like international sensation. And teenage girls loved her. Teenage boys loved her. And I don't know, maybe I was just sort of like going back to my childhood or something as we were sitting there. But I sort of sensed there was a moment of starstruckedness by me. And I rarely have that because I'm kind of like, everybody's just a person and we're all people and we're all the same. I mean, we all
You definitely didn't
same,
come off like that. You were adorable, though. You were kind of blushing and you were like, you were your sweet self. Like when you're talking to your boys on the phone and they're going to bed at night if we have to stay here late. And that was the Jason who was doing this interview. And honestly, I thought it was really revealing. It was a good conversation. So you didn't seem starstruck, but it was very cute.
Yeah, no, I thought it was good. It was just interesting it's interesting to think of someone who in their career peaked at 15. I mean, essentially you peak at 15 years old and then, but yet then people still sort of see you as frozen in time. And, you know, as we were after
she's done a lot since
and she's
then.
Done a lot and has gone on to get married and has a 27-year-old son and has a life. And she's not this 15-year-old girl anymore.
Right.
She's still making music and actually been successful, but it's, you know, there's hard to top what she did in 1987.
She talked a little bit too. The music business has changed so much.
Yeah.
About the idea of selling a million albums and like, it's different now.
Absolutely. You know, after Phil, we turned the microphones off, you know, we were sort of leaving the bus and I just said that to her. I was like, thanks. You were really gracious about that question because I don't want, you know, I sort of came on here seeing like I see you as the 15-year-old girl or in some ways like that's how. And so you were very gracious in how you answered that and that you shared that you're, you know, you're still alive and you have a life and you've gone on to do other things in your life. So it's just interesting to think how we view celebrity and view someone through a very short, small prism of their life. And really the same thing goes for probably any celebrity, athletes, in some cases probably politicians, because their time in the spotlight, on the grand scheme of things, is a pretty short period of time.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. That's true.
Anyway, shifting from Tiffany, thanks again to Tiffany and crew. And let's shift to our That's So Cincinnati moment of the week.
So Cincinnati.
Oh, well, it definitely has to be. We're still talking about the FCC stadium. A lot of things surrounding this, a lot of issues. And as an absolute aside on it, during a panel discussion on Tuesday morning, Jeff Birding talked about the idea of making the stadium something that's in use 365 days a year. And one of those ideas would be to have a beer hall that opens into the venue on game days and outside the venue on off game days still for the use. And this story went bonkers. And I
beer.
And I mean, people, they really want this. This is important to our city. And it's just such a reminder of how our heritage is still a part of us today and being revived.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of, like, on social media, I mean, that's where, of course, you saw the conversation happen in these fan groups and even, like, in the comments on the story itself. And it's, like, what exactly people want this to look like. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of ideas. And, you know, just refer the team to all of that because that's what the fans want.
Yeah, I think it's great. Great branding for the team. 365 days a year type of branding. Obviously, it'll probably be closed on Christmas or a few days a year. But to be open year-round, to allow people to get in and around the stadium, you know, even in the dead of winter, is going to be another success story about FC Cincinnati, which right now is going through a little bit of a rugged time. I think, you know, the expansion team on the field, things are going a little rough right now. But if when you take a step back and look at the big picture of this franchise, it's an amazing story. And I think this is another puzzle piece to do this beer hall, and it'll be wildly successful. Sherry, thanks so much for pinch hitting again today. You're always gracious.
I mean, I picked the best day to come, right? The Tiffany sure day.
By the way, you also did a interview with Tiffany the day before. So you did this earlier in the week. You talked to her on the phone, and you have a story on CincyAnnotoday.com. So check that out.
I do.
Sherry, in addition to covering City Hall for us, sometimes write about raccoons in the classroom or getting trapped in the classroom.
Poor Rocky. And he had to die.
80s pop stars coming back to Cincinnati to do retro concerts. So she is the Renaissance lady of the Cincinnati Inquirer, CincyAnnotoday.com. She does it all. The jack of all trades, and thanks for coming in, and a podcaster. Thanks for being here. Anything exciting coming up this weekend for you? You're a runner.
You know what? I'm going out of town. I ran the Half Pig 2 years ago, but I'm going to go to some parties instead this time. But I'll be cheering all my friends on from afar.
And on that note, our listeners, thank you so much. Our loyal listeners, we're going to give you an extra treat this week. Paul will be back Friday, and he and I will go on the road again, back down to the Banks and to Smale Riverfront Park. And we will be down there on Friday at 7 o'clock, from 7 till 9 o'clock in a booth near the Skyline Chili and the 50 West booths, for the, Mile Run, the Little Kings Mile Run, recording live, and you'll be able to listen to that episode then late Friday night on Saturday morning. We'll post it on Cincinnati.com. Stop by and say hi. I'd love to see you. And, just thank you so much. This is sort of thanks to the Flying Pig for inviting us down. And it'd be great to just be able to see everyone and talk to you and say thank you for listening and even meet new listeners or meet new people, and hopefully they'll become listeners as well. So thanks again. Don't forget to subscribe, download Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere you can get podcasts. And also we have it on Cincinnati.com. So thanks again, Sherry. Paul and I will be back Friday night and the Saturday.
Good luck on your run. Oh, wait. Are you running?
No, I have a sticker on the back of my car that says 0.0. No, I don't have it, but I love that sticker. Later.